We're studying the Gospel of Mark, and we're in the second chapter of Mark, in verse number 23. And we're talking about picking grain. Now, in the King James Version, it says that they're picking corn here. Picking corn. Now, what's wrong with that?
It was barley.
It was barley, but what about, why wasn't it corn?
Because corn was grown in the United States.
Corn was developed by the American Indians over here, and they hadn't quite got corn over there yet. So there wasn't any corn. But they're going to go out and they're out in the field, and they're going to pick grain, it says here. Kai Agenito, Alto N. Tois Sabuthan, Para Poru Este, Diaton Sporimon, Kai Hoi Mathete, Altu Exanto Hodon Poyen Telontes Tus Stakuos. And it happened. It came about. It came to pass. That word comes from ginomai, and that means to become. Third person singular, second aorist indicative active. And it came to pass, him, in the, during the Sabbath. Look at that. Cindy, what is that new on the end of that there? Sabasin. Look at that new on the end of that Sabasin. That's a movable new, isn't it? In other words, it can be there, it might not be, but it's here this time. In the Sabbaths. Tois Sabbaths. This is Sabbaths. And then he says, to pass by for themselves, para poru este. This is present infinitive middle voice. To pass by for themselves, they were walking by in the fields. Now let's go back and study what the law says. Brother Roger, could a farmer, did he own all of his field? Everything that came out of it?
No. There was a tithe that he had to produce at the feast.
Okay. What about it, Cindy?
They had to give a certain portion for taxes.
He had to give a certain portion of it to the priest. That's not all.
No.
What else?
He had to leave enough for the four people to glean.
Okay, now what part of his field? There was four parts of the field that he could not harvest.
The outer edges?
The corners. Here we have a field laid out like this. Okay? Now, he could not harvest the corner of his field. So this here is for the poor and animals. Wild animals or whatever animals might wander in there to get it. This isn't his anyway. He can't harvest that. Now, some of these guys were so greedy, they did. And when they did that, they broke the law. Okay? They broke the law. So during the Sabbath, sometime during the Sabbath, they were going to pass by them for themselves through the sporigmon. This here means fields of grain. Fields of grain. Grain fields. And the ones, disciples, learners of him, they had begun for themselves. Look at that. By the way, by the road, to make plucking. What's this? By the roadway. Where were the roadways?
The corner
of the field. So they went in here. Now, they're not stealing, are they? This is their grain, because it's definitely not the farmer's grain. He can't touch this. He's not supposed to. If he does, he's broke the law. So he goes by the edge. They go by the edge where the roadway is, where they're turning. This is the turn row. Okay? Now, when you're farming, you've got a road. Now, they might have several plots here. Okay? And they couldn't harvest the corners. But there's a roadway out here. They take and they pull the plow up and turn it around and they go there. And this is hard-packed ground, right? Like this, right here. This is hard-packed ground. So they're walking in this road by the edge of the field here, and they began plucking. They began the way to make a plucking. Literally, to make a plucking. Telontes, nominally plural masculine, present participle, active. It means to plunder. It means to pilfer. It means to pluck. They began to plunder the fields. But this plunder was legal. The ears of grain. The ears of grain. Now, if this is barley, how many of you have seen barley? You've got ears of grain up there, and you take the ears of grain, you take them off, and then you rub them in your hand, and you can actually put that in your mouth and eat it. It's kind of like eating corn nuts or something, except they're not quite as crunchy, they're more chewy, okay? And they would eat that, and they would eat this raw grain. And this was a common practice that people would do when they're hungry. I remember one time, a long time ago, up in Fish Lake Valley, I was a friend of mine went out there, and we were out taking a walk. Well, his girlfriend all of a sudden went into low blood sugar. And I went over there to this rice grass, and I got some rice grass in my hand. I said, eat this. Because there was nothing there. We had nothing on us. I said, eat this rice grass. And Marilyn, what's it taste like?
It's sweet.
It's got sugars in it. Yeah, it's got a very sweet taste in it. I said, start chewing this. And I took off running to the house. I was going to bring back some juice and some water and something to eat for her real quick. Because she was really about to go away. She was about to pass out. So I did that. Well, the first thing I did was get this, and I rubbed it in the hands. And you can see that I did that for you, Marilyn. I went up there, and I got this rice grasses. These are little tiny black things. The Indians used to harvest this. And you can cut the top of it off. You can grab it like that and cut it off with a knife or clip it or even with a stone tool, as they did so many years ago. Take that, put it out there in a dish-shaped thing, and set the thing on fire. And when you set it on fire, the leaves and the stalks just burn right up. And it, to some extent, even cooks grain in there. You can take and eat it. Well, this people have been doing things like this forever. Well, they did this. And they began to pluck. They began the plucking, the plundering, the pilfering of the ears of grain. Now let's look here in verse number 24. Kai, hoi. Pharisioi, elagon autu, ide ti poiusen, tois sabosun, ha uk ex esten. And the Pharisees, who are these characters? You remember these guys, Brother Greg?
Yeah, they were the legalists of the day.
They were the legalists of the day. They were the what are the Pharisees today, Brother Roger? What are the Pharisees today among the Jewish people? Yeah. Who are they?
The ultra-Orthodox
Jews today. That's who they are, okay? So these are the ultra-Orthodox. These are the ones that consider themselves so holy that they are beyond reproach. And the Pharisees. They said and continued to say to him. Who's him? That's Jesus. That's dative singular masculine third person pronoun. Look, behold, pay attention here. What's doing? What's going on here on here during the Sabbath? Who's doing something during the Sabbath, third person plural present indicative active? During the Sabbaths. These guys are doing this during the Sabbaths. Which not. Now look at this word, ex esten. What other word is this related to, Cindy?
Which one?
Ex esten. The last word in this verse. How about it, Roger? How about it, Marilyn? Pamela? Greg? Exeston. How about if I said exousia? Exousia. What does exousia mean? Remember what that one means?
Ultimate authority.
That means no limit.
No shadow.
No limit. Authority with no limits. Unlimited authority. This is what it says. There's out of it. It's almost the same thing because exousia means out of it. So here we have the word which is not. You don't have authority to do this. This is not lawful. You don't have authority to do this. Did his disciples have authority to do this? Could they eat if they were hungry? Yeah. When they went in the edge of the fields, could they take this and eat it? Yes, they were hungry. But what did they think? You know some of the laws that the Pharisees had developed in the Mishnah and the Talmud? One of the laws was, why could you not walk across a grassy knoll or lawn or pasture? You might cause seed to spread with your feet. You might carry seed on your feet, grass seeds or whatever. You might sow seeds. Now, is that in the Word of God? No, that was their own devise. It's not the Word of God. This is some of their invented laws. So what they were doing is not wrong, was it? Verse number 25. Kai lege autois. Ude pote. Anegnote. Ti epoeison. Aid. Hote. Crayon. Esken. Kai. Epanason. Autos. Kai. Hoi. Met. Auto. Now he goes back. Now, who is the author of the Bible? Who is the author? God himself. Is this Jehovah here speaking? So he knows his word, doesn't he? He knows what he inspired to be written. We have quite a few writers of the Bible. Quite a few writers in the Bible. But we have one author. One author, that's God. And he says to them who?
The Pharisees
now. That's deity plural. Third person pronoun. He says to them, never, not formerly and not now. Look at that. Not formerly, never. You all read, second person plural, first aorist, indicative, or aorist, that is, aorist, second aorist, indicative active. He said, not you read. Now, what does this word anagnote mean? That comes from ana and gnosko. What does ana and gnosko mean, Cindy? You know?
Isn't it like you read it and you learn it?
You up know.
Okay, that's what I said.
Up know. Literally. When you read something, you up know it. Okay? You know it again. Ana on the front of that means you know it again, or you up know. What you take on a piece of paper, somebody can write you a note, and they had what in their mind, they wrote down on that note, and then when you take that note and read it, you up know it. You up know it.
You download it.
You download it. You download it from your head to the piece of paper and then upload it. You up know it. He said, haven't you ever up knowed what he said? Third person singular, first aorist indicative active, David. What does David mean? Remember what that means, David, the name David?
Beloved
one. Okay, David. Who's he talking about? King David, the first king that was supposed to be the man that was supposed to be the first king of Israel. God always planned for Israel to have a king. Did you know that? I've heard many preachers preach when Israel asked for Saul that they wanted to be like the rest of the nations and that God never wanted them to have a king at all. Yes, God did. We go all the way back to the book of Genesis and we find that a lawgiver or a king would not depart from the knees of Judah, the land of the tribe of Judah. God always planned. But what tribe was Benjamin? What tribe was Saul from?
About Benjamin.
Benjamin. Yeah, I did it. That's dyslexia. See, Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin. So that's not the right tribe, is it? Not the tribe of Benjamin is not the right tribe. And Quinn, need he had, need he kept on having, and he was hungry. He was hungry. He and the ones with him. Now, when is this talking way back? When? 1 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. Twenty-six. Pos, XL thing. Aston, oikon. Tuthiu, epi, abiathor. Archirios, Kai, Tus, Artus, Tais, Prothesius, Iphagain, Hus, Uk, Existen, Phagain, Ame, Tus, Hitteres, Kai, Edokin, Kai, Tois, Sin, Altu, Usen. Go back here in the Old Testament. First Samuel 22. See if I can find it. First Samuel 22 and verse 20. Now, David here in the whole chapter of chapter 22, he goes and he's fleeing Saul, isn't he? And David goes and asks for food from the high priest. And then the high priest, and he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him provisions, gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent someone to summon Ahimelech, the priest and son of Ethan, all his father's household, and the priest who were Nob. And all of them came to the king. And Saul said, listen now, son of Ahab. And he answered, here I am, Lord. And Saul said to him, why have you, the son of Jesse, conspired against me in that you have given bread and a sword and have inquired of God for him, that he should rise up against me by lying in ambush, as it is to this day? Now Ahimelech also answered the king and said, and who among your servants is faithful as David? Even the king's son-in-law, who is captain over your guard and honored in your home. Did I just begin to inquire of God for him today? Far be it from me. Do not let the king impute anything to his servant or to any household of my father, for your servant knows nothing at all of the whole affair. And the king said, you shall surely die. He's going to murder him because of this. He's going to kill him. Well, did he give David the food? Now, it was not only this that... And the king said, you shall surely die, and Ahimelech and all your family's household. And the king said to the guards who were attending him, turn around and put the priests of the Lord to death, because their hand also is with David, because they knew that he was fleeing and did not reveal it to me. But the servants of the king were not willing to put forth their hands to attack the priests of the Lord. This is the story. This is the vicious. This is a story of what? Of hate and contempt. Was Saul a murderer? Were the Pharisees murderers?
Yeah.
Absolutely. They were murderers. Do you see what Jesus is doing to them? He's turning the tables on them completely. Remember how that vicious Saul came after David? And how that the high priest had given him showbread? Now let's look at this. Now, as we go. He hungered, and he and the ones with him. Now let's look at this in verse number 26. Pos, exeltane, ace, tone, oikon, tuthiu, epi, abiathar, archiorios, kai, tus, artos, te, prothesios, ephage, hus, uk, excessen, phagain, except me, ame, that is, I'm translating that in my head, tus, heres, kai, edokin, kai, tois, sin, autu, usin. And we read this a while ago, but let's look at it now. How he went in to the house of the Lord. He went into the what? What was this house of the Lord here? What is this? Pamela, you remember what this is? What's called the house of the Lord at this time? Marilyn? What's called the house of the Lord?
Was it the temple?
No. Temple wasn't built yet, was it? Cindy, what is it? What about this? What house did he go into?
Isn't it just like a high priest?
The temple area. He went into the temple area. Not the temple area, but the tabernacle area. He went into the area of the tabernacle. And that was called the house of the Lord, because the Lord wanted to dwell with these people. So he goes into the tabernacle area. He doesn't go into the tabernacle itself, but he goes into the tabernacle area, which is called the house of the Lord. He got house of the Lord upon the Abiathar, the high priest, and the breads of the setting forth before. Now what happens here, now every week they were supposed to take this bread in, and this bread was the bread of the presence. And how many loaves of bread were there?
12.
12 loaves of bread. And so they, on this table of showbread, they would have this bread. Now, who was allowed to eat that bread?
Priest.
Only the priest. This is holy bread. This is holy bread. And when the priest gave it to him, he says, now this is holy bread. When we're in service, we can't come near our wives or anything else. This is we have to dedicate ourselves to God. We have to be separate. Has your men been around women ever thinking, no, we're on the run. Now, I want you to understand this. A lot of times when those Jews were fighting wars, they took their wives with them to cook for them. Do you know that many of the wars fought in Europe and the Middle East, they had wives with them to cook their meals? And that many times, even in the Civil War here in America, many of the men took wives with them, and they were cooks. Now, evidently, they didn't take their wives with them on this little run because they're running for their lives. Now, they said, you have to be separate just like the priests. When the priests were in service, what were the things they could not do? Cindy, you remember?
When the priests were what?
When they were in service, when they were serving there at the tabernacle, what could they not do? What were the things they were prohibited from? You remember what it was? They couldn't drink wine. They couldn't eat grapes. They couldn't come near their wives to cohabit with them at all. This is the thing that they weren't permitted to do. They could not eat raisins. They could not drink wine. This, remember when people took the oath of the Nazarite oath? They couldn't do this. They had a Nazarite acted like he was in constant, continual service to the Lord. He was a priest by adoption of habit. The high priest, and he took the presence bread. Now only the high priest could eat it, and he ate. Which not is lawful, look at that word, excessen, not authority, to eat, except the priest. And he gave also to the ones together with David Beam. Now, did David break the law, or did the priest break the law? He said it's permitted. What else did he give him? You remember? He gave him Goliath's sword, which he had taken from him and chopped Goliath's head off with. That was a holy thing. He gave him the bread. They gave him these things. Okay, verse number 27. Kai, Elegain, Altois, Tol, Sabaton, Diaton, Anthropon, Aginato, Kai, Uk, Hoi, Aho, Anthropos, Dia to Sabaton. And he said to them, and look at what he did here. Now, tell me how he said this, Cindy. Can you conjugate that verb for me?
Third person singular, imperfect active.
Imperfect indicative active. He said and kept on saying to them, he kept on instructing them the Sabbath because of the man. It became. Why did he originate the Sabbath?
For man to rest.
What?
For man to rest.
For man to rest. And what else?
Animals to rest.
Animals and mankind to rest, because some people would work 7 days a week and work the animals 7 days a week, no days off. And so that they would have a day of rest, he invented the Sabbath. And it became not the mankind because of the Sabbath. Results of the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. We were studying superlapsarian today. Superlapsarian theology. Now, superlapsarian means before and above the fall. And the superlapsarians say that the atonement was given, the limited atonement was given to provide salvation only for the elect. But that, before the decree of salvation was set, that the decision to reprobate some and to call the elect was made first. In other words, before man ever sinned, before the knowledge of sin or anything, God had already reprobated people. Reprobated them. What does that mean?
It means they didn't have a chance.
They never had a chance before they were created to be reprobate. What's wrong with that, Cindy?
Because God wills that every man comes to Him.
Well, God wills that every man, He wants every man. He provided salvation for every man. But what's wrong with it also?
No free will.
There's no free will. Okay. What else is wrong with it?
There's no point in Jesus coming to earth.
Okay. What else is wrong with it? What else is wrong with it? Can God create evil?
No.
Can't create evil, can He? If He created the reprobate, decreed to create the reprobate before He even set down the fall. See, God, according to superlapsarians, God decrees to create the reprobate and the elect. All right? Then He decrees that all men will sin. But what did He do first? He decreed to create the reprobate and the elect. You get what I'm talking about. That's superlapsarian. And then after that He decrees to create man in such a way as that he can fall, that he will fall. And then He decrees that He will elect some to salvation through the merits of Jesus Christ. There's a little bit wrong with that, isn't there? All right, let's go on. Verse number 28. Hoste kyrios esten, ho huios tu anthropou, kai tu sabaton. So as, consequently, here we have a little illative particle. Consequently, Lord. That's nominative singular masculine, Lord. Kyrios. What does the word here, Lord, mean? What is the equivalent of it in Hebrew, Brother Roger?
Adonai.
Really? Huh? Yeah, Adonai. Or Jehovah. Either one. Adonai or Jehovah. This is the king, the boss. So as, consequently, Jehovah, the owner of the universe, he is the son of the mankind. Who's he saying here? What's he saying about himself? I am the son of man. I am the kinsman redeemer. I am the Goel. I am Adonai. I am Jehovah Adonai Ha'adonaiim. In other words, I am the son of man, and I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I'll decide who does what on the Sabbath. Ooh, this is rough on them, wasn't it, Roger? You get these arrogant, egotistical know-it-alls, and you tell them that I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I am the Son of Man. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I am the one that would come through the woman. Boy, now we're up to chapter 3. Kai, ace, el, thing. Pauline, ace, tane, synagogane. Kai, ain, eke, anthropos, ex, a, ra, mene, ekon, tane, karein. And he entered into again unto the synagogue. A synagogue. What would be the Hebrew term for this, Brother Roger?
The one I know is Moed.
Moed. That's it.
Oh, okay.
That is it. Moed is what? The place of gathering together. Now, the equivalent of ekklesia in Greek would be what? You remember that one now? This is a little Hebrew.
Kahal.
That's the assembly. Here we have the assembly house. This is the assembly house. Okay? The synagogue. And why did the Jews call this synagogue?
Because they were speaking Greek.
No, they were speaking Greek. It's Greek. It is not Hebrew. And the synagogue. Accused of singular feminine. First the clinching word. Moed is the equivalent of it, and ekklesia, which is the people gathering there, and kahal is the equivalent to that. And Kai, and here this Kai is what, Cindy?
What do you mean?
Kai.
Conjunctions on page 208.
Kai?
Yeah, it's conjunction. And.
Oh, it's a conjunction. That's right. It's a conjunction. On page what?
208.
208. Thank you, young lady. You got an A+ for tonight?
Oh, I know.
You remember the page number. That's not one down there either, was it?
No.
You're a good girl. And then we have the word ain. We are introduced to this word several times in the New Testament, and especially in John 1 and 1. N-R-K, ain ho logos. And here we have ain. Now, how should this word ain here be translated? And he went into again unto the synagogue, and he kept on being. All right, that's third person singular and perfect indicative active. That comes from Amy, by the way, if you want to put Amy down there. Epsilon iota, mu iota. And he kept on being there, eke. There is an adverb of place. Around page 121, if you want to put that down there. Anthropos, a man. This is where we get our word, what in English? Anthropology, which is the study of man. A man, ex era manane. Accusative singular, feminine, perfect. Participle, passive. Having a shriveled up, it means out of strength. The hand doesn't have any strength. So Sometimes when a person has a stroke on one side of their body, their feet and their hands have no more strength than they cannot stand up. They cannot grasp and hold on to anything. And you would look at them and say, why? It's just as good as it was yesterday, but why don't they have strength in it? This man either had a stroke or he was paralyzed with some type of paralytic disease. What kind of diseases could cause this? Cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, a stroke. Having a withered, dried out hand. This hand was gone. Just like this. This is gone. That's all withered and dried up. And it doesn't have any strength in it at all. Comes from no and zeros. No strength. Dried out. It's withered of all strength in it. The battery is dead, so to speak. Having in the hand. Now 3 and verse 2. Kai, pare teirun, auton e tois sabosun, thera puse. Auton, hina, kat, tago re sosun. How to? They kept on watching intensely him. Para terun. They kept on guarding him with their eyes. They kept on watching. What is he going to do? What's he going to do? What's he going to do? Now, this is on Sabbath, isn't it? Now, what did the Jews say about Jesus? About his abilities to heal?
He learned them in Egypt
that he was like a doctor of great powers and black magic. And that he was not a healer, but that he was a what? Like a sideshow. Like some carnival healer or whatever, A.A. Allen or whatever. You know. They kept on intentionally watching him. Third person plural, imperfect, indicative, active. This word means to watch with intent to do harm. Have you ever had a lion watch you? Maybe you didn't know it. Have you ever had a snake watch you? Have you watched a snake watch you? Marilyn, have you? I have. I've watched them. Watch something that you may be prey. A wild hog. A lion. A bear. There is one bear that hunts mankind. One bear that hunts man. That likes to taste human meat. What bear is that?
Polar
bear. You know that here in California we had a bear here that was so large. I think the last one they killed was over 2,000 pounds in 1920-something. Why they didn't save some of these California grizzlies, I do not know, and put them in cages and put them in a zoo or something, at least keep part of that strain of this animal. Powerful animal. Very big, powerful animal. The closest thing to the California grizzly is what animal of species of bear?
Brown.
That's a brown bear, all right, which is a grizzly. What bear is the closest? What is one of the largest bears in the world? In North America? The Kodiak. The California grizzly was closest relative to the Kodiak. That's a big bear. A friend of mine went up there one time. His father was one of the founding fathers of the Tejon Ranch at one time. Anyway, I worked with him at Sunland Refinery out here at the other end, you know, where this road goes all the way out to Gosford. On this end, it's Coffee Road right there across the tracks. Down there was Sunland Refinery. I worked there with him. He lived in Alaska for quite a while, and Ruger came out with a Super Black Hawk, 44 Magnum. And he went up there and he had the Scout, which is a real tough automobile, the old International Scouts. And he was going to go up there and go Kodiak hunting. Kodiak bear hunting with a 44 Magnum pistol. Because he thought it was, and he loaded them up real hot. And he went up there bear hunting. And he left his lunch in his scout. And he went out hunting for this Kodiak bear. He came back and looked like somebody had taken a can opener and opened up his scout. That real thick metal, that thing just opened it up. He went back, he got him a partner to go with him. With a 300 Magnum or 458 Woodchester Magnum to back him up. He went and got a bear. But when he saw the power of that thing, the strength of it, he had second thoughts. And they kept on watching him with intent to do harm. If, or since, in the, during the Sabbath, he will heal. Now here we have a toy sabusum therapusum, or therapuse. That third person singular future indicative active. What makes that A over there a first class conditional, Roger? You remember? Cindy, do you remember what makes that A a first class conditional particle? It's ruled by what? By the mode of the verb. That's the indicative mode. So we have a first class conditional. That since, during, had Jesus ever healed anybody during the Sabbath? Sure he had. But now they're going to look at him with intent to do harm to him. They want to kill him. What they want to do is, did they kill him? They had him killed. They demanded to be, that he was crucified. They're murderers. And then we have the word therapusi. Therapusi. How about this word therapusi? What word do we have today in English that comes from that word?
Yeah.
Therapy. Physical therapist. All right. Now, if he will perform therapy on this person, if he's going to heal him, future indicative active, him. In order to that, kata kategoresusen. And that's kata and gorio. That they might harangue him. That they might run him down. That they might talk against him. That they might indictment against him. That they might accuse him. That's all in this word right here. They were watching him intently to cause great bodily harm to him. I remember when somebody came out there and took the shackles off of my Tundra pickup. They went underneath there and took the shackles and took all the nuts off of there and then loosened them up on one side, and you could see where they had put a wrench on there to do that. And the sheriff come out there, I had him look at it, and also they broke mercury bottles down into the heater, mercury vials, and I found one of them. And I had the sheriff's officer to come out there, and he looked at that, and he said, well, this was intent to cause great bodily harm or death. And putting mercury in your heater is not very good for you. So this was what? This is attempted murder, is what it was, attempted murder. That they might accuse him, that they might harangue him, might run him down and speak against him. Now, these people were under demonic possession. They were demon-possessed. Even though they were religious leaders, they were demon-possessed. Demons. When Pontius Pilate, when he wrote his letter telling his father-in-law, Tiberius Caesar, about what happened during the trial, he said it was like somebody turned the hounds of hell loose in the Praetorium. He said, these people are vicious killers and murderers. Demons, all the demons of hell were turned loose here. 3:3. Kai lege, to anthropo, to tain kera, exonte, zeron egere, eis to meso. And he says to the man, the one the hand having withered out and dried out without strength, Rise up. Stand up. Unto the midst among you. Right in the middle of the Pharisees and the scribes. Right in the middle of the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Levites, whoever was there, I want you to witness that this is the power of God. Now, this man, he would go. What was he supposed to do after this?
Go to the scribe.
He had to go to the synagogue and show him that I've been healed. Because they thought all illness and what we call deprivation of any sort, whether they were broke or whatever, it was all by the will of God. Because they were bad. They had sinned, and so God is sending this punishment upon them. He said, now right in the middle of them, go stand right in the middle of all these priests and these Pharisees and scribes. And then they would have to give him a bill of healing, didn't they? That he's okay. Now this really hurt them, didn't it? 3 and verse 4. Kai lege autois existen tois sabazen agathon poiesa a taka poiesa say psyche psychein that is sosa a apo katene hoi de isi opon. And he says to them, is it permitted? Is it lawful? Is it authoritative in the Sabbath or during the Sabbath? Agathon. What is that word agathon, Cindy?
Godly good.
This is good. This is spiritually good. What is the other word? Roger, what's the other word? Kalos. Thank you very much. You're just getting A's all over today, Cindy. Okay. Now, what is the word for good in Hebrew?
Tov.
All right. You both got it. All right. Tov. And what does Tov mean? It means upright. It means good. Real good. So here we have the word spiritually good. Good to do or to do evil. That's kakos there. That's bad. That's Adamic evil. Is it good to do spiritually good things on the Sabbath or to do evil? The soul of life, a soul to save or to kill and destroy. Is it okay to save a soul, a life, or to kill and destroy? The ones, moreover the ones, they kept their mouths shut and stayed that way for now. He shut them up. They did not have an answer for him. Because here is the master of the universe that they're dealing with. And they're not treating him like the master of the universe, are they? Are they giving him any respect, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. Are these people giving Jesus any respect, the master of the universe? Are they giving any? Are they treating him like he's the master of the universe?
No.
No. Treating him poorly. Do you have any questions? Yeah, they're giving him the evil eye. All right, so we started at 2:23 tonight. 2:23, and we ended up at 3 and verse 4. Do you have any questions? Greg, do you have any questions concerning any of this? I hope you have learned something tonight. We'll learn one thing. Those boys are bad boys, aren't they? They're cockos. Cockos anthropos. Bad men. These are what we call bad men. Bad men.
So, was the purpose of getting together on the Sabbath just to have a ritual or to be instructed to the people?
They were to be instructed. They're going to go and they were going to worship on the Sabbath. Now, the synagogue is, first of all, the invention of mankind, isn't it? It's not really invented by God. You're not going to find the synagogue in the Bible. That they did this, and that was interpreted in the Mishnah and the Talmud, wasn't it? And that's what they went by, which was the traditions of the fathers. their fathers. And they would write down all kinds of interpretations of the Scriptures. So these people are dealing with the writer of the Bible, and they are the sons of the ones that wrote the explanation of their interpretation of the Bible. Like I've said so many times, as we study the Word of God, we're not studying a translation, we're studying the Word of God. This is the Word of God. This is it. This is His words. Okay? The interpretation is what we have in translations. We're looking at it as it is. Just there it is. Plain and steady. Do you have any questions? Cindy, do you have any questions? No? Uthamia? Nothing? Great. Did you get something tonight? I hope. Brother Roger?
I always do.
All right. Thank you for all being here. All right. Cindy, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for just loving us.